my sins are gone. 3-1-1. That's the confession of a Christian. My sins are gone. Let's go now.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone.
Yes, sir.
And when I meet us for once, who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone.
Oh,
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's conclude Daniel's 70 weeks of Daniel. Daniel's 70 weeks. We picked that from Daniel chapter 9. Let me just conclude that. Get your Bible and papers, because I'm going to give you scriptures that you have to go and study. It's a teaching. We are concluding. We've had three parts. We've had three parts of that message. Go. Is it three parts? Two parts. We've had two parts. This is the third part. Get the tape. The 70 weeks of Daniel. That's the topic. The 70 weeks of Daniel. The tapes are there. The tapes stand. And all we try to do. Amen. We pick that from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. That is God's timetable, divine timetable for salvation. Now I've emphasized that you can't get that in any bookshop. It is only within the end time message circle that you can hear anything like that. Now salvation is God's own business. During our Bible study on Wednesday, I remember when we had to read some scriptures, and a sister was shocked when she heard us read some scriptures from this Bible. She said, "Ha!" I said, "Yes, you are saying ha. You're surprised this is in the Bible. It's in the Bible." Amen. That was last Wednesday. And 2 weeks ago, another sister followed me to the office after the Bible study on Wednesday. She said, "You mean, Daddy, all these things have been in the Bible and with no knowing I've been going to church all these years?" She said, "Why don't they go to these areas to teach us?" Well, I answered her, "It is not given to them to know. The Bible says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them who are without, it is not given." Remember, it confirms what we always say here within the message circle, that as long as you remain in the denominational system, you will never go in the rapture. I repeat, nobody that will remain in the denominational system that will make the rapture. The only group that will make it according to the scripture are the foolish virgins. And remember, they pay with their blood. Why? Because denominationalism is the attempt of Satan to catch the children of God. And knowing this will happen, God reserved himself a ministry in this end time. Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6, he said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." It's a restoration ministry to restore us back to Bible Christianity. And this was explained several in the Bible. The parable in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish virgins explains it even deeper, where he says, at midnight, two groups of people going out, amen, to meet the bridegroom. But because the bridegroom tarried for the past 2,000 years, every day, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. While they were still waiting, all the virgins went and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry made. That is the wake up call. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him." The Bible said two groups of people, the wise and the foolish virgin, the two groups all woke up. But the wise ones had oil in their lamp. The foolish ones did not have oil. Oil there is the Holy Ghost that giveth revelation. See, I am qualifying that Holy Ghost. I am saying the Holy Ghost that giveth revelation. There is the Holy Ghost that giveth not revelation. Don't be confused. There is the Holy Ghost that giveth revelation. There is the Holy Ghost that giveth not revelation. That is the Holy Ghost that causeth delusion. I'm speaking Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. There is the Holy Ghost that giveth revelation. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, somewhere verses 11, 12, 13, he tells us about those who refuse the knowledge of truth, but delight in unrighteousness. He said, he, God, will give them over to a delusion to make them believe a lie. I have preached that message I titled the spirit of delusion. It is the Holy Ghost. Remember in Matthew chapter 13. Amen. Two groups of people in the church, the wheat and the tares. He said at the end, I said, leave them all to grow. The wheat and the tares. Leave them all both to grow in the same church. The church of Jesus Christ. He said, at the end time, I will send my reapers. They will bundle the tares one side and bundle the wheat one side. Who are the tares? People who want to go to church and just feel religious. Open the Bible to show them any Bible truth. They don't want to hear that. And so many prophecies that confirm this will happen in the church, in the Bible. I'm just summarizing to give you people that are hearing for the first time a picture of what we're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. They're there in the Bible. And God will send his angels. His angels there. The mystery, the greatest mystery that is happening in Christianity today is going on now. And many people have not caught it. Amen. That there are care churches. Churches that are nothing but a bundle of tares ready to be burnt at the end. It's a separation that is going on between the wheat, the bride of Jesus Christ, and the tares. And who is he using? He is using men. They are men of God. Men of God, anointed genuinely by the Holy Ghost for a purpose. What purpose? That is why I said, every pastor you see today is a reaper according to Matthew 13 parable. Including me here. Everyone, without me mentioning names, every pastor, some have the grace to gather plenty tares. Plenty. And then the pride. Look, what is your pride as a pastor? That your church is large? If you catch a revelation of who a reaper is, what type of people are you gathering? You are either gathering the tares or you are gathering the wheat. The end has come. It's separation time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why in this church, you will not hear revelated members of this church calling any minister of God anywhere occultic. No. Except otherwise, proven. But every pastor you see there, they are genuinely called by God. Oh, if you say they are not called by God, then you will hold this Bible and say Judas was not called by God. Am I saying something? Amen. God called genuine ones, 11 of them. He added one on top. Why? That one had a ministry to fulfill. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother, I'm talking the deep things that pertain to salvation. People go to church and all they want to hear is how good God is, how much he can bless, how he can fight your enemies, how he can prosper and give you breakthrough, how he can heal and perform miracles. And they're all talking around the anointing of the Holy Ghost and care nothing to know anything that pertains to the program of God for salvation for this world. It's deeper. It's much, much deeper than a lot of people portray it. God sent his only begotten son to go to the cross of Calvary. Nailed him there. You think he nailed him there so that you become millionaire? Can't you sit down sometimes and begin to think that life is much more than what you look at on the surface? Jesus Christ, that innocent man, loved you so much he offered up himself so that witches and wizards cannot get you. It's far, far more than that. What God wanted to achieve is what nothing on earth, can provide. His children got lost from the Garden of Eden. He started a process of restoring us back to what it should be in the Garden of Eden. He's taken so many thousands of years, but he chooses to do it so. All that God wants to achieve at the end is what he established in the Garden of Eden. What he proposed in the Garden of Eden, we come back to it. And it's a process. And it's an agenda, a program. One step at a time. One step at a time. He starts there with shadows. And people don't understand when God is doing a shadow. Let me give you two of the shadows. When Adam and Eve fell, hallelujah, they did what they did. They discovered they were naked. That nakedness, I can stay 1 hour talking about that nakedness. God, now, they decided to find themselves a cover. What did they use? Leaves. Amen. When man fell, the glory of God left. Then they discover they were now exposed to all manner of dangers. They now decided to look for an alternative to cover the glory that they lost. That is what has given birth to all manner of religions on earth. Is that covering man is looking for to cover that they lost in the Garden of Eden? But God knew for his glory to come back, man-made religion cannot do it. Those leaves, sun will hit it, it will dry. It will wither away, the nakedness will still be there. God went and caught an innocent animal and slaughtered that animal and took the covering, a better covering, and covered man, Adam and Eve, with the skin. He was speaking of that innocent Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will have to slaughter on the cross of Calvary to give human beings the genuine covering. That is one type. That's why he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Abraham had only one son, Isaac. God told Abraham for nothing. He said, take thy only son, go and I will show you where you will sacrifice him for me. Why was God interested in Abraham sacrificing his son? Abraham obeyed, took the son, and was actually going to sacrifice him until we know the story. God stopped him. Why was he doing that? God was seeing how he himself will bring his only begotten son, the only human being on earth that the curse of Adam and Eve cannot touch, his only pride on earth, his only property he has on earth, of all the billions of people on earth, only one man If he gives him away, there's none else. And didn't know that God was using the faith of Abraham to challenge his own faith. That's all. That was the whole purpose of that story there. And Abraham proved to God that a human being can sacrifice his only begotten son. How much more the Father of creation? It gave him boldness. It challenged him. If Abraham can do it, I will do it too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As soon as man fell in the Garden of Eden, that process of redeeming man back to what it was in the Garden of Eden was activated. We see all the types and the shadows. That is what led the children of Israel to go in captivity for 400 years in Egypt. It was for a purpose. That was what led them again to be brought out and be put as a nation today. God spoke, he said, the only inheritance he has on earth is Israel. Oh, a lot of people don't have revelation of who Israel is. Praise God. But salvation is not only for the Jews, it's for the whole world. So how will he now include unbelieving Gentiles? How will he include them in the plan of his salvation? What did he do? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is where you see the story in Isaiah chapter 6. Where Isaiah was sent to go and prophesy and blinding them. And Apostle Paul caught that revelation in Romans chapter 11 verse 25. Where he says, be not ignorant of this, that blindness in part has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They were blinded so that we can come in. It's still part of the plan. That they rejected Jesus Christ was still God's own plan. So that you and I can come in. So that the whole world can be partaker of that glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the greatest mystery again there, one of the greatest mysteries there is that he's not every human being that came from God. What happened in the Garden of Eden produced two groups of people on earth. Some human beings here are nothing but animals in human form. Their father is an animal. Their great-great-great-grandfather. Amen. Their great-great-great-great-grandfather. Their first papa on earth here was an animal, serpent. He mingled his seed with the seed of human beings and produced half humans and half animals. Enough for Satan to come and anoint that animal nature to make human beings act like animals. That's what he wanted to achieve. That's why you must be born again, because your first birth has been contaminated by the mix in Genesis chapter 6. The two seeds mixed again through interracial marriage or interwater, inter-animal human being marriage. That's what you see Pastor Ifa in teaching in the Sunday school. The doctrine of the serpent seed. But the foundation of God standeth sure. God knows those that are his own. Because those that are his own, from before the foundation of the world, he knew them. And therefore he has their names written in that book, sealed with seven seals. In Revelation chapter 5. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the foundation of the world. And in all this process is for those he has foreknown. His own. The process that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary is to save those that he has foreknown. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he, Jesus, might become the first among many brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
If you don't understand this, you will just be an ordinary church goer. You carry Bible and just going to church, and you don't know where you are coming from, where you are now, and where you are heading for. Every true Christian must know, you must know your past, you must know your present, and you must know your future. That is what the future of Israel was made known to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was in captivity, and he understood by books how long they were supposed to be in captivity, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25, that they'll be in captivity for how many years? 70 years. By the time Daniel woke up to that realization that they are not supposed to be forever in that captivity, and he searched the books and saw the date that that prophecy was fulfilled when Nebuchadnezzar came and carried them into captivity, it was already 68 years they had spent in captivity. Knowing that it was homegoing time, he began to pray. That prayer went on. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the angel Gabriel came down while Daniel was praying to begin to show him the time that has been allocated to Israel. How that 70 weeks have been determined upon the people, Israel, to complete and fulfill six things to be done. And he gave him when those 70 weeks will start. He said, from the going forth of the commandment to build and to rebuild the city. He said, count from that time that commandment is given. 70 weeks. I'm summarizing it. And we saw that those 70 weeks, they were 70 weeks of years, because they are prophetic 70 weeks. Each week is 7 years. That means 490, 7 times 70, 490 years. Prophetically, he was telling the children of Israel that 490 year program you are supposed to go through. And then told them what to be achieved. And from that time, he told them that after the 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. So, if they were studying their Bible, their prophecies, their books, they will have known, because he gave them the time frame that the Messiah they have been expecting, he will come and he will even be killed. And if you calculate it from AD 445, when that commandment was given, to AD 33, when Christ was killed, is exactly 483 years. 483 years, 62 weeks. 69 weeks, sorry. 69 times 7. Now, according to that study that we looked at in detail, they are all in the tapes. According to that study, and we made the calculations. According to that study, after 69 weeks, the Messiah was cut off. And he stated there, he said, after he's cut off, he said, and the people of the priests that shall come, we come to the city and destroy it. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the same prophecy in Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem. In Luke 21, the destruction of Jerusalem. Amen. And exactly, the people that shall come, they came from Rome. The prince that shall come, that is the Antichrist, will be entering there next after this study. So that you will know who is the Antichrist. We know who the Antichrist is. We know his address. We know his country. Hallelujah. And he is not in Iraq. He's not a Muslim. He's carrying Bible. He has the biggest church in the world. And that's the mystery of iniquity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible tells us how to identify him. But he hid it so that not everyone will know. Now this is I'm telling you, brethren. You can't know this in a denominational setting. That's why the first thing he said, come out of her, my people. The denominational system is part of the Antichrist system, designed, established, sealed by him, the Antichrist. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The priest that shall come will come and destroy that city. I'm quoting, I'm telling you Daniel chapter 9. I'm reading, I'm quoting Daniel chapter 9. And he said, and that was fulfilled in AD 70. When that Roman general Titus came and destroyed that city. He destroyed it, and from AD 70 until 1948, before the Jews came back there after the Second World War, to fulfill other promises in the Bible that God said, they will scatter, but he will bring them back. And when they stand, he gave another pointer, referring to them as the fig tree. When you see that tree stand, in Matthew 24, what did he say? Hallelujah. You know, he said, when the fig tree stand, give birth, and begin to, you know, bring birth forth birth like that. He said, you know that summer is near, so also you know. Amen. When, and we understand that scripture, that when you see Israel come and stand, and other nations, because from that time that Israel got her independence, that is how other countries began to get their independence. He said, when you see that happen, know that the time is near. And he added, he said, this generation shall not pass until all we are saying, he was saying, come to pass. Which generation? The generation that we see Israel stand as a nation. That generation is the generation that we see the rapture. A generation is 100 years. And from 1948 to 2008 is 60 years. Anybody that is born within this period, amen, you will not die. Hallelujah. That generation will not pass. That is the generation within that period that you will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have spent 40 years, listen, church, if we have spent 60 years, this generation to finish, remaining how many years? Remaining 40 years. Now, catch the balance now, so that you know this thing is real. Hallelujah. That we don't have any more time left. Amen. When the gospel came to Israel, amen, they rejected Jesus Christ. And the gospel now had to come to the Gentiles. But wait. When Christ was cut off, hallelujah, when Christ was cut off, it was the culmination of the rejection of Jesus Christ. It was exactly 483 years. That is 69 weeks. Amen. Hallelujah. That was in AD 33. It's remaining one more week for the total 70 weeks to be fulfilled. Am I correct? Church, am I correct? Those of you who have been following this teaching. Because how many weeks was determined for them? 70 weeks, that is how many years? 490 years. From 445 BC. That is when the commandment was given. But they had spent only 483 years when Christ was cut off. Remaining how many years for 490 years to be complete? 7 years. That is the last 1 week that is left. That 1 week was suspended. God left them hanging. After 69 weeks, 483 years, he left them hanging and came to the Gentiles. Since you rejected me, let me go and get a queen for myself, a bride from the Gentiles. And there are several scriptures that point to it. I have given them before. But this God gospel will not stay with us forever. That's why Apostle Paul, I quoted Romans chapter 11, he said blindness in part is not forever, because the Bible says the gift and calling of God is without repentance. God has called him, called Israel. He has established his covenant with them. He can't cut off that covenant. But he left them hanging since they rejected him and came to the Gentiles to get himself a bride. And we saw scripturally, because that is where we make a lot of mistakes. People behave as if the gospel will stay forever and ever, and it will never end again with the Gentiles. Israel now, as a nation, apart from the elect here and here, as a nation, they have rejected Christ. They are still holding on to their sacrifices that Christ has already fulfilled. Because in Romans chapter 10, he said, Apostle Paul said, I bear them a record that they have a zeal. Apostle Paul says that the Jews, he bears them record. They have a zeal to worship God. He said, but that zeal is not according to knowledge. Because if they had the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, they would have known that he was the fulfillment of the law. The ark, everything pertaining to the ark, fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Everything pertaining to the temple, fulfilled in Christ, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Everything, the ordinances, the feast of the first fruits, the wave offering, the Passover lamb, the Passover ceremony, the Pentecost, and all those feasts in Leviticus chapter 23, all of them was fulfilled in Christ. That's why he said they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. But it's okay, it's as a result of their blindness. While they remain blind, God came to the Gentiles to pick himself a bride. Hallelujah. I am summarizing, because concerning the bride, there are too many types to speak of. Esther is a type. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So many types in the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, but the gospel will stay for a particular period. How long will it stay? Amen. The key with God is in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. We discover that the gospel will go back to Israel after 2 days. We saw from the scripture that those 2 days are actually 2,000 years. And the gospel is going to stay with the Gentiles for 2,000 years, divided, according to Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, into 7 church ages. Each age, God sending a star messenger to get the bride for that age. We are now in the 7th church age. With the 7th church age star messenger that we identify scripturally as the man William Marion Braham. I came with that message that we heard his voice and we came out. Every age we hear the voice of the messenger of that age and come out. The age of Martin, of Apostle Paul, they heard him, they came out. From Judaism, they came out. The age of Irenaeus, they came out. The age of Martin, they came out. The age of Luther, they came out. The age of Columba, they came out. The age of John Wesley, they came out. And now, the age of William Branham, we came out. I'm among those that came out. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord, oh, the original. Raised up for the original Christianity. That is what we are raised up for. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From that song, you can know the fake end time message churches and the true end time message churches. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleep is sent with strength and willingness for translation in this time. Gentle days will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who is original God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We were all in that blindness in the denominational system. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. And through victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. Through jubilee we have sounded, and we have responded to our Lord, who is original.
They don't do.
Hallelujah. That's who we are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That song that says, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell from Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within us. All glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can see.
Are you one of them? Are you one of them?
Oh, one of them. I am one of them.
Yes, sir.
I'm so glad that I can see. I'm one of them.
Oh, yeah.
One of them.
Oh,
I am one of them.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's the difference between the bride and the denominational system. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we don't have woman pastor here. We are back to original Christianity. Hallelujah. Oh yes. That's why we dress the way we dress, with the fear of God. That is who we are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another revelation they can never know. That song that I says, oh, who do you say I am? And whence do you say I came? He says, do you know the Father? And can you tell His name? In Jesus dwell the fullness of the Godhead, don't you see? Jesus is the great I am. And the Lord of Lords is He. That's who He is. That song said, do you know the Father? He said, who do you say I am? And where do you think I came from? He said, do you know the Father and can you tell His name? He said, in Jesus, quoting Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. In Jesus dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not the Trinity. It's not the Trinity. It's Trinity of offices, not persons. One God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the great eternal spirit, Father above us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In His Son, glory be to God. Even the heavens are clapping their hands for us. The same creator of the heavens and the earth as the Father, coming to earth to dwell as Emmanuel in His Son, and coming again to dwell in the redeemed as the Holy Ghost. One God, not three persons. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the revelation of the hour. That's the difference between the bride and the concubine denominations. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It will last with the Gentiles. How long? 2,000 years. And we calculated, and we discovered after our calculation, from AD 70 to now, using the Jewish calendar, not the Roman calendar, the Jewish calendar, the prophetic calendar of 30 days in a month, we discover we had just about 30 something more years. Only 30 something more years for the period, the grace age, to be over. About 33 years left. So you can see, 60 years plus 33, how many years? How many years? 93. This generation shall not pass until all this be fulfilled. You can see what I mean. That this Bible is true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this period of grace will end with the rapture. Hallelujah. It will end with the rapture. After we have gone, then the gospel will go back. That last 1 year will now begin with the Jews. The 1 week has been suspended to bring you and me into the salvation plan of God. And after he has gotten the bride, they have gone. No more salvation for the Gentiles. No more salvation for the Gentiles. After the rapture is gone. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Let me just run over that, because I say you write some scriptures. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 26. Amen. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. That is 62 weeks. We have 1 week first, plus the 1 week. Hallelujah. I mean, we have 7 weeks first. 7 times 7 is what? That is in verse 25. 49 years, that's the period they use in building the temple. Then after that, add another 62 weeks, making it 69 weeks. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Amen. Please, you can only understand this language from King James Version. If you read any other version, it may confuse you. He said, but not for himself. And the people of the priest that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, verse 27 is where we are dwelling now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who is he that shall confirm the covenant for 1 week? It is the prince that shall come. The people of the priest that shall come shall destroy the city. He again now is that prince, and that is that Roman prince. But this prince is now not a political prince, but a religious, ecclesiastical prince. He shall come to confirm the covenant with many for how long? For 1 week. Amen. Let me finish reading that verse. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspread of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. Let me explain that. Praise God. After the rapture, hallelujah, just before the last week we start. Remember, that is why we say it is 7 years. That is the last week remaining for them. The week will start with the Antichrist entering into a covenant with nations. That many, there is many nations, including Israel. And it shall be a covenant of peace. But let me list them all chronologically for you. Before this scripture, before he enters into that covenant, the rapture, there are some activities that will take place, which the bride of Jesus Christ is watching. We will see it. Because remember, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, there is a prophecy Apostle Paul gave there, that Christ will not come except, number one, there come a fall away first, fall away from the faith, which we can see everywhere. And he said, the man of sin will be revealed. That means he referred to him as the son of perdition. That is the Antichrist. That is, before Christ will come for the rapture, amen. Remember, we are expecting two comings of Jesus Christ. He is coming for the rapture and is coming to judge. This second coming, the third coming now. The first one, he came and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. The second one is coming for the marriage of the Lamb and the bride to take us home. Then when we are away from here, because he's coming to judge the earth. While we are there, waiting there, that is the reason why we say that we shall be waiting for how many years? 7 years, because that is the period the gospel will now turn to Israel. Now, but before this verse 27 covenant that he enters, which is also just before the rapture, certain things will take place. Let me just list them down if you are writing them down.